Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This word is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all that heavenly prize, it's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me, Pastor?
Yeah, it's strange things are happening here as the internet went down here, then the I called in this number, and instead of getting this, I got the they wanted me to take a quiz. I can't believe it.
Well, I can quiz you if you want.
All righty. Are we back on air right now?
Oh yeah, we're live right now.
Okay. See, folks, it's not a boring day. I'm going to tell you, we never have a boring day. you never can tell what's going to happen. I kind of had a feeling out there when I saw Barack flashing to the windows, and you could hear a bit of a rumble out there. So what is happening with some of our equipment? The internet seems to have gone down, which carries us. And then we're doing a program remote tonight from our normal studio. So I guess everything's okay on your end then over there.
We're holding down solid.
All righty. Well, then we'll just continue doing it this way. I wanted to go back to what I was saying when I was telling you about Elizabeth McDonough. She has been blocking Trump's big, beautiful bill. She's trying to take it apart. She's a Senate parliamentarian. And in the past, you know, when they've done things like this, they've fired. And the Senate has fired. And apparently, the Republicans aren't doing anything. Now, they're just letting her, trying to dismantle the bill. I don't know what's going on with them. What do you think?
It's that weird stigma, you know, and I really hate the term rhino, I do, because I don't believe in the two-party system in general, but it is that weird stigma that I feel like a lot of Republicans have had since Trump took office is, well, now the hard part's over, we can relax, you know, and that's not the case. You still have an active battle that you're fighting.
Hold on a minute. I think we may have come back on. Let me check something here.
Sure.
Okay. Can you hear me here?
Let me see. Go ahead and talk again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We got you loud and clear.
Very good. We're back. The equipment came back. And I wonder how long this is going to last.
Well, let's make the most of it.
All righty. Let's go for it. Anyhow, Supreme Court gives Trump the major victory in deporting the worst of the illegals. This is what we were talking about before here, where this Judge Murphy, these people that he was deporting were all murderers, several murderers, a number of child sex offenders, rapists and that, and the Democrats want to keep them in this country. They want to keep as many rapists as they can, many child, you know, just unbelievable. But anyhow, Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to move very quickly and deport illegal migrants to countries not specified in the removal orders. A majority temporarily blocked a lower court order that required the Department of Homeland Security to give migrants notice and allow them to raise concerns with about potential threats of torture before deporting them to a third country. Justices Sonia Sotomayor, Ketanji Brown Jackson and Leah Kagan dissented from the decision. Of course, you knew that they would, right? I mean, unbelievable. But anyhow, so it was a 6-3 decision. That means that those that were supposed to be conservative actually acted like it for once. Apparently, the court finds the idea that thousands will suffer violence in a far-flung locale is more palatable than the remote possibility that a district court exceeded its remedial powers when it ordered the government to provide notice and process to which the plaintiffs are constitutionally and statutorily entitled. You know, let me ask you this. According to the Constitution, does that apply to citizens of the United States, or does that apply to all the citizens of the world?
The rights of citizens are for citizens exclusively.
Gee, do you think they'll ever figure that out there?
No. And this exists, this as a whole is a classic example of opposing to oppose. This is just the left saying, we don't like Trump, we're going to oppose it to oppose it. Because if I'm being completely honest, the whole idea of self-deportation and here's $1,000 and you get a free flight back, I'm against that. I think that's giving them too much leeway. I say get them to the airport and deport them. Get them out of the country because they're criminals. Lock them up. This is such a softball thing that the left should be excited for that, hey, you're giving these people that were supposedly quote-unquote fighting for their rights, even though we don't care, you're giving them money and you're giving them a free trip and you're giving them a chance to come back as a citizen. It's such a blatant example of we're opposing it to oppose it.
Well, I look at it this way. I've always been an advocate of something that has been was totally illegal during the Biden regime, and that's common sense. Common sense. You see, you use common sense. Now, if you have, say, a family, say you have a mother and a father and two children. Now, they're illegals, right? But you don't want to put them in jail. You don't want to put those two children in jail. They didn't. They're not responsible, right? So then you use common sense in that area. You have the husband and a mother to take care of the children, but they're illegal. So you deport them, and if you give them, you know, we can afford to give them $1,000 apiece to get them to another country and get them started, right? But now, on the other hand, if you're a convicted murderer, you know, and some of these people that were sent here when they emptied their prisons from El Salvador and Venezuela, you know, some of these people had... they had been convicted of multiple murders.
Right.
Now, that's a different case, okay?
And I think that's where, as an American, and as our Constitution and as our government is built around, we need the institutions we have to do a better job. And it's not the fact of both of them are illegal. They're both criminals. One, obviously, severely worse than the other. At a ground level, you look at it and say, okay, both are criminals, both can be deported. But exactly like you said, you look at a mother and a father who came here illegally and had two kids, right? You don't want to see them get thrown out of a country and be down on their luck. That's when you take into account and say, hey, listen, what can we do to get you to become a legal citizen? If you don't want to go through that process, if you don't want to have government aid and help of us getting you into becoming a legal citizen, then you have to go.
Well, there you go. And so, now, do you know what's happened since Trump has said that self-deport? Do you know how many that they have already self-deported?
Quite a few.
Well over a million. Well over a million have self-deported, and they've taken the advice. And
why wouldn't you?
Well, I would, because I think that would be a smart thing to do.
Right.
Okay. But... Now, Democrats don't like it. They're very offended when people do smart things. And so, you know, there's an extraordinary and historic, and do you know what that is, the extraordinary historic thing that's about to happen?
What's that?
Donald Trump's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
I did see that this morning, yes.
Yes, that's right. Now, President Donald Trump was nominated, actually today, for the Nobel Peace Prize for his extraordinary historic role in brokering an end to the armed conflict between Israel and Iran, preventing the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism from obtaining the most lethal weapon on the planet. The nomination came from U.S. Representative Buddy Carter, Republican from Georgia, who submitted a letter to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee in Oslo, Norway. Carter stated that in his letter in recent weeks that the world stood on the precipice of a dangerous and potentially region-destabilizing war. Yet in the face of this crisis, President Trump took bold action to ultimately champion peace through strength and facilitate a ceasefire framework that brought hostilities to halt. In a statement that has since reverberated around the globe, President Trump announced the terms of a complete and total ceasefire agreement, commending both Israel and Iran for the courage to end the war. His message of mutual respect and peaceful now result in a full cessation of military activity, no further escalation, and the preservation of thousands, if not millions, of lives throughout the Middle East and around the globe. President Trump's influence was instrumental in forging a swift agreement that many believed to be impossible. President Trump also took bold, decisive actions to halt Iran's nuclear ambitions and ensure the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism remains incapable of requiring a nuclear weapon. His leadership at this moment exemplifies the very ideas that the Nobel Peace Prize seeks to recognize: the pursuit of peace, the prevention of war, and the advancement of international history. In a region plagued by historical animosity and a political volatility, such a breakthrough demands both courage and clarity. President Trump demonstrated both, offering the world a rare glimpse of hope. Now, let me see what's going on here. Now, first of all, I want to say one thing. If I was to see President Trump, I would have a bone to pick with him. And that bone would be for him dropping the F-bomb. And he did that knowing he was on not just national television, but international television. He dropped the F-bomb. Now, what made it especially bad? Well, let me ask you, why do you think that would be especially bad for the president to do what he did?
I mean, it's just not very, what's the word, proper for it?
Right. But not only that, but see, there are people out there today, and you have especially, you have some of these MAGA people, some of these Trumpers that have just kind of gone overboard.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And MAGA people, you know, they go to wherever he's going to be. They travel across the country. And for him to do that, to use that, in their mind, if he did it, it's all right for them to do it too. Now, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of people that way, that are simple-minded that way. And here, and again, first of all, you know, today in our society, there are people that, and I'm talking about people I know that think that to use that profanity, because it's allowed now on the networks, because wicked, evil, unclean, vile people use it in the networks, that if since it's done, then they can do that. Well, I don't like to hear that. I get offended when I hear people dropping the F-bomb, and I let them know, okay? You know, in fact, sometimes it upsets them. But I tell them, you know, usually there's like three reasons why people do that, when they use that profanity continuously. Do you know what those three reasons are?
The one I always know off the top of my head is just lack of intelligence. People will substitute it for actually being able to communicate properly.
Right. Sometimes they have a very limited vocabulary. Other times, like you said, that you know, a low IQ, and usually it could mean that they didn't have a proper raising up, huh? Upbringing. So anyhow, that's my explanation for that. And you know, the point I want to get across, sometimes it makes people stop and think, gee, I didn't realize that people thought of it or looked at it that way. Okay. But especially, you know, you being at your age, you don't remember the days that it used to be back when men would be very careful in their language around ladies. You didn't use foul language around women. Back in those days, men had much more respect for women. Do you know why they had more respect for women?
Why is that?
Because the women demanded that they have more respect. They were ladies, and they demanded to be treated like ladies. They didn't want to be disrespected that way. And today, though, unfortunately, I mean, I want to praise the good Lord for those Christian ladies out there, the ones that, you know, like to come to our church and that I meet. Praise the good Lord for them, because they are still ladies. They're still chaste. But, boy, I'm going to tell you, some of them out there today, especially in the Congress, they're potty mouths. I mean, they got some very foul, dirty mouths. And do you know what the Word of God refers to these women that speak that way?
How?
Unclean. And so I sure wouldn't want to be an unclean woman, would you?
I don't think I've ever fallen into the unclean woman category myself, but no, I wouldn't.
There you go. Hope that never happens to you, right?
You might have to ask a Democrat then if I'm an unclean woman.
Yeah.
No, I'll agree, though. I'll say this, and I'm coming at it from a different angle, too, because it's almost a double-edged sword. On one hand, I'm very pro freedom of speech. I'm very much against FCC and regulation when it comes to things like that. And I'm also very much against the idea that, you know, words are anything more than we make them. You could call me a stupid poopy head, and I could take it just as bad as the F word, if that's how I want to perceive it. So on one hand, I come from that, but I think you're absolutely right, especially when, you know, frequently it comes from a position of lack of intelligence, a lack of an argument, and doing it just to be offensive and just to garnish a reaction. On top of that, I think you're even more correct when you talk about someone in a position like President Trump. And it's the same thing that he went and talked about Zelensky not wearing a suit and dressing the part and showing the proper respect for the office. You have that weight on your shoulders. You know, with great power comes great responsibility, right? It's not to say that, you know, he's a bad person because he said a word, but he's in a position where there are other people, like you said, who take things too far, who look at it and go, he said it, so it's okay. And he needs to realize he has that power sometimes.
Right. Now, he was very, very angry, and he had good cause to be
angry.
Do you know what he was angry about?
He was angry about the Middle East blowing each other up.
Well, he was angry about because he'd come to an agreement, you know, with both Israel and Iran. But now here, when you enter into an agreement like you did, and he went out, he just put himself out there saying, there's going to be a permanent peace there, you know, and so he did that. Now, they had 12 hours before it went into effect, 12 hours. Now, here, you know, even common sense would tell you the proper protocol would have been saying, okay, We stop the shooting, we stop the bombing, we stop all of it immediately, okay? But they didn't. See, after going into that, after Trump going out there and announcing this peace deal, Iran was the first to violate it, but Israel was waiting for them. And Israel went ahead and probably did one of the biggest bombing raids they've ever done, okay?
Right.
And so So what they both did was that they made Trump look like a fool, okay? And at least in his opinion, okay? He looked at it like, you know, boy, after him doing working as hard as he has been working and going through all of what they went through, and then he felt totally betrayed, and that's why he was so angry.
And understandably so. I mean, we talked about it 7 days ago, not even last week when we were on here talking about, you know, what will happen now if we will get involved, if the U.S. gets involved in this. And at that point, I was, you know, exactly like you just said, Trump had been made to look like a fool by both sides at that point, especially when you have someone who's supposed to be our ally and you say, hey, we don't want to go to war, don't bomb this country, and they turn around and bomb a country. That's not a great move from someone who's supposed to be your ally to begin with. And then we go and we see the events happen over this weekend. We officially have, quote-unquote, entered into the situation, right? We obviously end up bombing Iran. And it's something where I sat back personally and went, he's doubled down now because it's all about what happens next. It's all about what happens now. We are hearing that this is a ceasefire. We hear that this is a total end of the war. And I hope that's the case. I genuinely do, because that is the best case scenario. We shouldn't have been involved in this to begin with. And I hope that's the case, but I don't put it past anyone to try and turn their back now on this peace deal to, for Iran to make another strike or some kind of strike against America. And I hope that's not the case. But it really is doubling down, because I didn't want Trump to get involved to begin with. It should have been between them at the point where they both turned our backs to us. We got involved. We led a strike. And now it is to the point of what next, right? And hopefully this is where it lies. Hopefully that this is where the ball lies, and we can move forward and we can actually go ahead with this peace deal. Because if not, like you said, that does just come back on Trump.
Well, you know what happened when Trump came out and he made his statement and he dropped the F-bomb because he was talking about Israel, okay? Netanyahu had planes in the air for another bombing raid. And when he heard that, he put the word out, turn the planes around, come back. And he let Trump know. He said, all the planes have been turned around. They're heading back home. No more, you know. So
good. And you know, I really hope that, you know, unfortunate as it is, the situations that had to take place for us to get here, I hope this is the touching the hot stove moment where you learn, right? I hope this is what it takes to realize that we've put the foot down. And for both Israel and Iran to go, okay, we're not messing around. We know the U.S. is serious about getting involved now. Let's call it where it is.
All right. Well, the question is not because you have out there, did Trump violate Constitution with a strike on Iran? You hear all the Democrats are out there saying he violated the Constitution, okay? And now, this is where sometimes I just like to grab those Republican senators and just slap them around. I mean, that's, you know, I feel that way because of, you know, they, you know, instead of, you know, doing the right thing, a lot of them seem to want attention. They want to have, they put their own little private little views. In other words, okay, I'm going to hold out until I get something. You know, I want, you know, and that's what they, unfortunately, what they're doing, so many. But here's an article by Joe Kovacs. He says, in the wake of President Donald Trump's military strike on Iran's nuclear facility Saturday, Republicans in Congress are at odds over the constitutionality of the military action without congressional approval. Okay, now, do you think that was the case when Obama took those people out? You know, when Obama's, and actually some Americans, remember?
I was going to say, which time? The amount of times Obama had ordered missile strikes unprompted.
It didn't seem like he had to get congressional approval for those, did he?
Right.
Okay. House Speaker Mike Johnson said the president made the right call and did what he needed to do. Leaders in Congress were aware of the urgency of this situation, said the commander-in-chief evaluated the imminent danger, outweighed the time it would take for Congress to act. Now, here again, this was an amazing outcome in the way that operation took place. The world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, which chants death to America, simply could not be allowed the opportunity to obtain and use nuclear weapons. But here's the problem I have, okay? For the last 20 years, I've been hearing that Iran's only like 2 weeks away. They're only 2 weeks away. Do you remember going back even about 10 years ago when Netanyahu was the first in office? When he, for the first time, he was in, then he was out, and then when he was in, he had that chart, and he had the chart that where we're at today and when. And he came out and he said, when Iran hits this point here in their nuclear enrichment, we're going to have to take out their facilities. We're going to have to take them out. Okay, and he kept making that clear. Well, you know, how do we know? I mean, like I said, for 20 years they've been saying Iran's 2 weeks away.
Exactly.
But But here's another thing, too. Look, do you think that if I ran, there's got to be something else going on here, because don't you think that North Korea and Russia and China would be, well, maybe not Russia and China so much, because they probably wouldn't trust Iran, but North Korea would provide Iran with all the nuclear weapons it wanted if they asked? What do you think?
That's why I think we're in a real interesting time right now. I know everyone wants to feel good about the current state we're in, and there's reason too. You know, where we sit right now at this current moment, there's a ceasefire and we're talking peace deal. That's great. It's about what happens next week and the week after, because exactly like you said, going into this, I was against the bombing of Iran because of the repercussions on the other side. Now, it's turned out, as of right now, again, key being this point in time, a lot better than I thought it would, the best outcome possible. But how does that play out next week and the week after and the week after? We've heard Russia's input on this, according to Donald Trump, is the fact that apparently Vladimir Putin offered to negotiate a peace deal before the bomb strike even happened, and Trump turned it down and said to focus on your own country and Ukraine. We haven't heard anything from North Korea, obviously. We haven't heard anything from China, obviously. But you'd have to think that is plans B and C on the list for him, right? I mean, we're talking major allies. And that is where I was against the situation in the first place, is if you're going to lead a strike, you're going to have to expect repercussions. And what are those repercussions? I'm not worried about Iran. Like you said, for 20 years, we've heard death to America. For 20 years, Israel has talked to every single president we've ever had and asked them to bomb Iran. For 20 years, we've heard about how bad Iran is. And they're bad. Don't get me wrong. They're a threat. But they're not Russia, and they're not China, and they're not North Korea. But that's who's in their pocket.
Okay. After saying all that, though, I would say on the positive end of all of that, okay, was the very fact that Iran, who, you know, for all these years people have been telling you, you know, they've been, their own government have been telling the people how powerful the military was, okay, but Trump showed them how easy it was, how easy it was for them to take out all of their nuclear facilities. Remember the threats that Iran made. If you even try that, you'll regret the day you were born, this and that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where I agree, because I don't think this is a very – and it wasn't at the time. It's not a light decision. I know people want to play right and wrong when it comes to red versus blue, but this is a very impactful choice no matter how you slice it, and we're still in that situation now. You know, it's about weighing the options, and it's a job I wouldn't want to have, so I couldn't imagine putting myself in President Trump's shoes, and that's why we should pray for anyone in this position, right? Because you do have to look at all the options that come after, and I think, like you said, this is – as of right now, for the current day, this is the best outcome we could have, is we showed what we can do. We showed what happens when you push the bear a little too much, right? And we showed how fast you can be a non-factor. It's
well,
about
you
what
know,
those allies think now.
And a very, very interesting thing today, because you know what what NATO did today? They came across, they said, you know what? The European market and the residents of NATO that have not been paying their fair share, that have not paid their fair share, they have said that we now will pay, all of our countries together will now pay our fair share, and we will match what, and so what do you think of that?
And again, I think there is a lot of good that comes out of this. You know, a week ago, I'm glad to put my foot in my mouth when a week ago I would sit here and tell you there's no good that come out of this. Obviously, the big gleaming one is the threat of Iran we get rid of. Cool. That's off the table. Everyone knows that's the biggest one, but it was about the deficit on the other side. Clearly, we're seeing a lot of positive repercussion from it. We're seeing this agreement with NATO. We're seeing this ceasefire. We're seeing America be taken seriously again, which we haven't for the past 25 years, unfortunately. And that's a really good thing. So not to sound like a pessimist here, I'm just trying to weigh all the options, but you're absolutely right. There is a lot of good that has come out of this.
Now, here we had, and we addressed this. You had Alex Jones, you had Tucker Carlson, you had many on the right that with the health doctor, what's his name? So you had many, many on the right that were saying that this would be World War III. That, and we said no, and they were, you know, and they kept saying, according to their intel, and our advice was, look, you know, we've got intel too, but it doesn't matter, you see, because we were not elected, you know. I'm not the president, so it's not my call. I don't have the intel that he has, and I don't have the office that he has and the authority that he has. My job is to support him and to back him up because he's the leader, a real leader, not like Biden was. You know, Biden was totally, completely immoral. He was totally anti-America. He was anti-American. So, and we were telling him, you know, McCurtain and I, that these people, this is the very, very worst and the very wrong time to decide to be at odds with the commander-in-chief. And so what do you think they're saying now? I don't know. I haven't heard anything from Tucker or Alex.
Yeah, it's been real quiet on their front, I'll say that. And, you know, you got to wonder what a lot of it is, if it is that fear of coming out and backtracking and saying I was wrong, or if they are still in that rabbit hole of thinking, okay, well, what's next? I know my intel says, you know, Russia is going to... Whatever it may be, like you said, this is the show of a true leader, right? It's making the hard decisions. You said it yourself. I'll say the same thing. I wouldn't have been able to put myself in that shoes and make that decision for myself, that not one that affects not only our nation but allies and enemy nations all as one. You know, it's a very tough decision to make. There is no right and wrong answer. It's a very gray area. And fortunately, I think we have seen so far a good outcome from it. The means we got there may not have been how I would have done it. They may not have been the most uncontroversial means or the best way to go about it, but the results are speaking from themselves in real time. And I really hope that we see a lot of these right-wing media sources like Alex Jones and them admit, at least, that they say, hey, you know, I was wrong, here's the facts, this is what happened, and not try to double down on it, because then you become as bad as CNN is, then you become as bad as NBC was.
Okay, so here's now, you know, I lost my train of thought here. I had just switched over here to another article, but here now is where we're at. Remember, they were talking about then this is going to bring China into it, this is going to bring Russia into it. As of now, Iran's not getting help from anybody, okay?
Right.
They're all backing away from her. Russia has come out and said, well, you know, Iran can get nuclear weapons from other countries. There's several countries that are willing to give it to her, but no one has done that. And so I don't really think it's really that much about, you know, they're just using that as a threat to continually, you know, cause angst amongst the people. And, you know, Iran, you know, used with sponsoring terrorism for years all over the globe. Iran's responsible for the deaths of a lot of American military.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and so here, you know, Trump now, and again, when Putin actually called Trump, and he actually said to him, can I help you with Iran and Israel? And Trump told him, I don't need any help with Iran and Israel. I need help with you.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, here, for Putin to do that when Trump's been trying to get him and to stop the war in Ukraine, you know, well over a million people have died, and it's like Russia saying, we have an excess of men, we don't need them all. And I'm absolutely amazed that the Russian people have put up with that. You know, here during the Vietnam War was a very long war. We lost 58,000 men in that war. And the American people had enough. They were finished. And that was a war that was that we were never meant to win to begin with, or because we were sold out. Now, I said all this here. Now these Democrats and these Rhino Republicans are saying you should have brought that before Congress. You should have called an emergency vote in Congress to bring everybody back to Congress to vote on whether to do that. But let me ask you a question. Do you think that there could have been a successful raid the way there was? Do you think that possibly, if they had gone to Congress and let a vote on it, that wouldn't have been leaked all over to the Congress leaks like a sieve? So there would have been no support, no surprise. They would have been taken completely, caught totally off guard. Remember what Trump told them? Trump says, I got 2 weeks to think about it, right?
Right.
So Trump did to them what they did to him. They don't keep their words. He just said, I've got 2 weeks to think about it. Well, he didn't say that he was going to think about it for the entire 2 weeks either. But anyhow, so he caught them totally off guard. In fact, they believe they caught him trying to move some of the enriched uranium out. And so now, on top of all that, here you've got the IEA Inspector General, and these people all are saying how that Iran's nuclear facilities have been completely wiped, completely and totally. The only people you say that they have not been are the Democrats. The Democrats are saying they don't think that there's proof that that did that much damage. Unbelievable. But
yeah, that's a crazy claim right there.
No, but CNN is out there saying that we can't tell that there was that much damage done, and that the Iranians are saying that their facilities were not destroyed.
I'll say this, and this kind of goes back into the conversation a little bit of all these journalists prior to this, like Alex Jones saying this would start World War III, and that was never really a concern of mine because you think about it at its base, right? And this is taking it back a week ago before we led this strike. The idea was out there that we were going to strike this nuclear facility. That was always the idea, right? And at that point, you're essentially creating just shy of a nuclear bomb. You're hitting a nuclear facility, you're going to get a very similar close reaction. It won't be quite as fissile, but you're going to get a close reaction. What ended the World War II? What ended World War II is a nuclear bomb. You don't come back from that. That's not something that starts a war, that's a war ender. So right from the jump, you sit there and go, you don't rebuild from that. And to your point, if he would have sat there and called a meeting and had a vote, it absolutely would have been leaked. And that's exactly what we had for 7 years when Obama tried to fight ISIS. For 7 years repeatedly, he would say, okay, we're going to strike this location at this day and this hour, so get out if you're there. And we'd strike nothing, and we'd kill innocent civilians, and ISIS would keep on being ISIS. That's exactly what would happen. So again, I know I keep coming back to the point, but it's that gray area. The tactic might not have been the best. It might not have been the best way that I would have gone about doing it, but look at the results. Look at the options we're weighing. We were kind of pressed. We didn't have that many choices. We certainly didn't have 24 more hours to sit in a war room and vote on it.
Well, what you said about Obama and ISIS, we kept telling people all along, don't you see what he's doing? Obama started ISIS. We have a clip. It's a 14-second clip there. And you have Obama admitting that he started ISIS. And what he would do, you're absolutely right. He was supporting and supplying ISIS all the time, pretending to be trying to take him out. And so, yeah. And we kept telling people, don't you see what he's doing here? Don't you see what this guy is doing?
You want me to play that clip?
Yeah, go ahead and play it.
Was moving too slowly, but the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
That was where he was speaking to his own people. Okay, we weren't supposed to hear that. And so there you go. Now, I wanted to say this one real quick, too, because we're living in the great apostasy, the great apostasy. Remember I told you about that minister that wanted to get rid of the Bible? A minister identified as being part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They're virtually Satanists, as far as I'm concerned. They're so liberal. Has publicly rebuked the Bible's call to share the good news with others. In fact, this pastor promotes the idea that there are people who are perfectly happy in other faiths who don't need to be converting to Christianity. And so here, the pastor identified as being the ELCA, the ECLA, openly rejects the commission, who reports said, he's talking about the Great Commission, he openly rejects the Great Commission. We who are a kind of progressive church circles don't tend to be real excited about the idea of running out and telling other people to change their, because of Jesus. She said, there you go. All right. So this is how apostate that is. It has gone totally, totally apostated. And you have more and more now in the days. This is witchcraft. Like the United Church of the Antichrist, the Evangelical Lutheran, there are more and more are their false leaders. They're women. And God's Word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. It's very, very clear. Women are not to be ordained ministers. They're not to pastor churches. So whatever God's Word, the Bible, teaches, the apostate church embraces the opposition, the opposites. So we have Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All righty. We're on tomorrow for that luncheon with Coach Dwayne. We have some important things to discuss. Now, can you, what do you have to say about this evangelical Lutheran woman who says we don't need to witness to people and people with other faiths don't need to hear about Jesus? What do you think about her? And she claims to be a Christian.
She's not a Christian. That's like right from the devil. That's exactly what the devil wants. He don't want people to witness. He wants everybody to die and go to hell.
Yep. So, would you say that she's a witch? I would.
Well, she's talking like a witch. You know, witches help Satan do his work.
I hear you. Well, tell the folks how they can get to heaven so they don't have to spend any time with her in hell.
Well, going to heaven is very simple. God outlined the way to go to heaven, and, you know, he ought to know the right way. There's a lot of people telling you they're do it their way and go join their church and everything, but God has a way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means Mary don't get you to heaven, Peter, Paul, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church. Nobody, your good works don't get you to heaven. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. And so when he died on that cross, he said, it is finished. That's telling us that God approved what he did as payment in full to transfer your sins and my sins onto himself. And when he said it is finished, that means it was accepted by God the Father, what he did. But now that payment don't become ours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And Luke 13:3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That means repentance is simply admitting something to God with a sincere heart that he knows already anyway. Without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're lost and on our road to hell. We don't stand a chance, because if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again to the day you die, just the sins you've already done would be enough to keep you out of heaven. God hates sin. Then he can't even let one sin get into heaven, or it wouldn't be heaven very long. And so God wants you to come to Jesus and receive that payment Jesus paid for you on that cross, so that when we get to heaven, we're going to be giving Jesus all the thanks and praise for getting us there. Nobody's going to be walking around there patting themselves on the back and saying, I got here because of the works I did. I was a good Christian church member and all this other junk. And the thing is, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Saved means saved from hell. and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could do one thing to earn your way to heaven, it'd be of works, but or works plus faith. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of works. That faith is faith in the finished work that Jesus did for you, not that you do. So now God hears me talking to you right now, and Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, or in other words, hear his word, and open the door, I will come into him. And how do you open the door? How do you let Jesus come into your heart? Romans 10:13 tells you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to save your soul, which is what the Bible says he did, and you call upon him, which means you pray and you ask him to come into your heart, he'll come into your heart, and he'll give to you the payment he paid in your place on that cross when he does. The Holy Spirit comes in too and seals you right then and there into the body of Christ, and there is where you remain forever. You can't lose your salvation. Nobody can take it from you because you become a new creature in Christ the moment you get saved. All your sins are washed away, and you become cleaner than a brand new baby in God's eyes, because from then on he sees the righteousness of Jesus in you and not your own self-righteousness, which is full of sin. So if you want that payment Jesus paid for you, he's knocking at the door of your heart right now, but only you could open up that door and let him come in, because it's a free gift. He's not going to force it on you. So if you want that present, pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. But even though we're praying together, it's strictly between you and God. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I here and now ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins and save my soul from hell, because I believe that when he died on that cross, he was paying the payment in full for every sin I've ever done. And Lord Jesus, I believe you're the only way to salvation. You're the only way to heaven, just like you said in John 14:6. And so right here, and God also, Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So in other words, it's the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary that washes away our sins, and that takes place the very moment we ask you to come into our hearts, which we're doing right now, Lord. Lord Jesus, right now, come into our heart. Cleanse us from all our sins and give us eternal life. Save our souls from hell. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. How much time do I have, Scott Style? Okay. All right. Very good. Well, again, you know, I mean, where can you imagine this? You have these apostate preachers coming out. Before the great apostasy, before this happened, actually, we really seen it just really take place in the 60s. But going back, even back to then, what these Lutheran pastors have done and what they've said, people would have been taken, they would have been forced out of the church. Some of them may have gone to prison for doing that, what they're saying and what they're doing today. It's just absolutely amazing. So, anyhow, we're out of time for tonight, and I wanted to... Again, thank you for that, giving that good invitation. And I want to thank all the good folks for being out there tonight. And luckily, we didn't let Barack get us, did we? So we got back on air. Strange things have been happening recently. So it's time to say thanks for being here. Well, it's time to say good night. God bless. And always, 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 you ready?
Right.
Keep
fighting.
No, it's not. always keep fighting the fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.